When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing at NOLA. She issued a statement the other day about a letter issued by BGR relative to the Housing Trust Fund implementation, where she says that this released set of recommendations regarding the implementation of the Housing Trust Fund that only served to demonstrate how unmoored their condemnation was for the Housing Trust Fund. And had BGR done an honest assessment of the trust fund proposal, they would have known that everything in today's recommendations was already included, envisioned, or exist in the current housing ecosystem. That knowledge could have led to them supporting it. So, Andronica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Newell. Good morning.
So, I reviewed the letter that was issued by BGR, and I would, nothing in there. It seemed to be obnoxious to me. What were your issues with the issuance of the letter?
Well, so number one, the big issue is that a good government group would insinuate that two government, quasi-governmental agencies that they don't regularly and are required by law to be audited already and file those audits with the state legislative auditor's office. That was one of the things that, and every other thing that they suggested, that was one of the things that was not included in any of the documentation around the plans for the trust fund documents that were shared with them. That's just a basic standard of how the finance authority and the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority work. And so we were quite surprised to see BGR insinuating that those two agencies, those two quasi-governmental agencies, don't meet that basic standard. That's what they suggested in that letter. That they said this should be happening as if it does not already happen. And then every other so-called recommendation was, in fact, included in the ordinance, included in the plans, included in the proposals. And those were documents shared with BGR, either by Councilmember Harris's office, by myself, and by the number of people that they met in their interview around to inform their recommendations. And so for them to take those facts and suggest, almost seemingly to smear the effort to insinuate that we didn't have those things, is just shocking. And it's unfortunately been standard operating procedure for BGR as it relates to this housing trust fund. This was similar before when they made their earlier recommendations against it years ago. We spent time looking at some of their concerns, looking at what was actually reasonable and addressing those concerns in the new proposal. And that still wasn't enough. And now for them to come out and say, well, you all should have these things as if they didn't, as if they thought of them. I spoke to Becky Mulberry personally she suggested that this was a result of research that they wanted to share. And I was quite confused by the fact that you wanted to share research that you had looked at other places, and it seemed like you had not paid any attention to what was being proposed or what already existed here in New Orleans.
I didn't get the sense that they were really talking about a financial audit as opposed to an operational audit. And in compelling and putting language in cooperative endeavor agreements that there would be certain touchstones between agencies to make sure that they can leverage the dollars and the mission and vision of affordable housing before they embark upon new projects. Now, that may be the case, but I don't know I don't know why that recommendation would be so obnoxious. I mean, it could be just
repetitive. Again, it's not a recommendation. It's a restatement, and it, again, being framed as if those things don't exist, as if we needed.
Well, I don't think they do exist. I don't think that there is a CEA that actually outlines what they are asking to be outlined in a cooperative endeavor. And I know that to be true because I understand, but let's back up. Let's back up a second. Yeah. There can't be a CEA. Because this ordinance just passed, and you know, and so they're recommending that there's language be put in a CEA that talks about operational audits, the a matrix being set up in the evaluation of the proposals, and that they look at all of the agencies that touch affordable housing to make sure that everybody's got a seat at the table, and actually. Andronika, that's something that you've asked for years. You've come on my show. I've probably given you more airtime than anybody else in the media about that, and I'm a big fan of yours. But, I mean, that you yourself have said that the city has repeatedly dropped the ball in this issue, and it just seems to me these are just standard operating procedures as it relates to any new fund that's going to be created.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dated. I don't see
and a new, how... And again, if you look at my statement, you're asking why it's obnoxious. Again, those are in the existing proposals for the trust fund, and the BGR full well knew that, and they still opposed it. They still vehemently opposed it. That well, is
they,
envisioned.
They
that
opposed
has, and that's what my statement was.
Their was primary opposition was, to it was the same as mine, was setting aside and guaranteeing $17 million out of this budget as a dedicated fund to housing.
But this is where both of you are mistaken because they're not guaranteeing $17 million.
That's the number
that it's operating budget.
Yes, but the number
that's
is $17 million.
That's a projection. Yeah. The estimate is $17 million. What we are guaranteeing is that we're going to set aside 2% of the money that comes into the city. It could be more than $17 million. It could be less than $17
million. Sure.
The point of this is that we are going to guarantee that there's dedicated money to affordable housing, money that currently does not exist, money that we when people are choosing and struggling and deciding over things. The people of New Orleans said very clearly they don't want this to be ignored. They want it to be a priority. That's what, and again, that's required. That's what we're saying is required. You all had your objections to it. The people spoke very clearly and said we want this investment to be made on a regular and routine basis. And again, as we talk to community about what was required to make sure that that investment community did not blindly trust that the government is going to do this, it was explained to them the ordinance lays this out already. That's also stated in the ordinance that there's going to be a CEA between these agencies. That's already been voted on by the city council. That's not in the charter amendment, that was a part of persuading community to vote for the charter amendment so that they could see that there were guardrails put in. You and I have also talked about the fact that sometimes our governments ask for blank checks, and community can't simply trust those blank checks. That's not what's happened here. This has been thoughtfully researched and designed. It's been explained ad nauseum to groups like the BGR. You and I have only had very cursory conversations about this, but they've spoken to probably a half dozen officials involved in this. We've done research on it. I sat with them for 90 minutes going over all of this and then responded to their initial proposals, correcting some of their errors. And when they issued their initial condemnation, it also included errors in it where it purported that the so-called backup plan was equal or similar to the trust fund, when that's simply not true. And so here we are again with the BGR continuing to, you know, frankly, be disingenuous as in their objections around this. And so while you
not necessarily, because, you know, in the other way, the council would have to continue to prove to the city that they were handling this in an appropriate fashion, or otherwise they could be voted out. But this, you know, guarantees 2% of the budget be set aside for this for however many years.
Citizens can vote them out anyway. If we have an election in 2025, if this council does not move correctly with these dollars, they can be voted out in 2025. If these dollars are not being managed appropriately, if community
and there would have to be another election met. To eliminate the 2% is all I was talking about.
The issue with that one is, Newell, is that there's always going to be a need for a serious need for an investment in affordable housing, because we do need more money. We do need more resources. The fact that our leaders might not be spending it the way that we want them to does not eliminate the need. That does not eliminate the need. So we would want to undo this investment. We would want to say, at a time when we know we need billions of dollars to go into housing in order to, frankly, address our economic issues. One of the biggest economic issues this city is facing right now is impacting businesses. It is impacting our long-term viability is insurance. We need to be making, and addressing insurance is going to be talking about strengthening our housing stock and mitigating the risk. Why wouldn't the city of New Orleans continue to make that investment? Why wouldn't the city of New Orleans recognize that it has a crucial role to play in addressing that and not simply leaving it to the state or the federal government?
I don't know, Andradika. You tell me, why wouldn't they manage and maintain playgrounds? Why wouldn't they manage and maintain disability transportation with the RTA? Why wouldn't they manage and maintain the streets? Why wouldn't they manage and maintain sewage? And you know, I mean, look, when it comes
policing,
to the credibility,
you're making the defund argument. That's an interesting argument for you
to
be making, Newell.
I'm not making a defund argument. All I'm saying is that if you want to go to a question of credibility as to who is going to appropriately handle the finances of the office. You're the one that said, why wouldn't they want to do this? Why wouldn't they want to do that? And I'm asking you, why wouldn't they want to maintain the playgrounds? Why wouldn't they want to maintain the streets? Why wouldn't they want to maintain street lights and red lights? They haven't.
And again, the people that you're talking about are not in charge of this issue. The people who you're talking about who have those challenges are not in charge of this issue. Are not managing these dollars. These dollars are going to agencies who have
been
a track record of investing dollars.
In the past, you've been critical of these very agencies for not doing what they necessarily need to do, is the point that I'm making. You've been on this show many times.
We've been critical of the council. We've been critical of the mayor's office. We've been critical of the system that those folks, number one, the state council is involved, and they have made a commitment that they will be held accountable for. The mayor's office is not involved in the administration of these dollars. That was also part of what was necessary to get this passed. That was also part of what community voted on. So again, we're saying that we can fix these systems, Newell, that we don't have to defund them. We need to fix them. That is what we're talking about here, and that's what the trust fund's talking about. That's what the voters voted on, and that's where there seems to again continue to be this disconnect. In that there seems to be for the opponents of the trust fund this disbelief that it can't be managed. Yes, it has not been managed appropriately heretofore. We need to change that. We need to change, and we all need to be committed to changing that.
In their conclusory statement, they say taking the steps outlined above can help ensure careful planning and administration of the new housing trust fund investments and long-term public benefits. Housing challenges are important issues facing our community, and voters have chosen to dedicate new resources to address them. It is vital that the city build this program in the most effective and transparent way possible.
And to that, I say, duh.
It may be stating the obvious, but we haven't delivered on the obvious in so many different. And we haven't delivered on the obvious in so many different ways. I mean, when I look at this, when they say the city's cooperative endeavor agreement, that means they know that there's going to be a cooperative endeavor agreement. They know that. They're not
That's
saying.
That's because it was in the ordinance. They're not, it was
right.
in the ordinance.
So,
it, the
but
ordinance,
all they're saying is that they should require certain clear eligibility criteria for the programs. What's obnoxious about that? That the strategic criteria should tie to the city's housing strategic plan and the priorities outlined in the trust fund ordinance.
Again, these are all things that they're restating the plans. They're restating the proposal that they objected to. And now saying, oh, yeah, y'all should do this as if they invented it. Again, I get why you don't think it's obnoxious. You're asking me why I found it obnoxious, why many people found their so-called help obnoxious. I'm telling you, they're restating the obvious, which is, again, and some of it, we cannot gloss over the insinuation that the Finance Authority and the Redevelopment Authority do not get audited. They do get audited, and I'm sorry, Newell. An audit is not they talk very clearly about program guidelines, which, again, are also things that are inside of all
those
the
are
documentation
not, that's
that
not,
are provided
That's not
them.
A financial audit, Andronika. That's an operational
audit
when you're talking about program
that's
guidelines.
That's exactly what they're saying. It is?
Absolutely.
I find it interesting that a good government group would use the term audit so imprecisely. Most people are talking about, most good government groups, when talking about audits, are talking about financial audits. No one uses that term in that way, especially when inside of the ordinance and as the trust fund has been designed, there's going to be rigorous reporting on an annual basis on how the program dollars are going, which is also something they restated in their letter. So then it seems to be duplicative. If they meant program audits and not fiscal audits, why would they break down metrics and other program reporting requirements?
That's exactly what they say. Clear eligibility criteria for residents and developers. More detailed metrics for housing trust fund investments and reporting. Regular, comprehensive, and independent evaluation. Wait a minute. To help ensure the programs effectively address the city's housing problems. Those are operational. They're not. That's not financial.
Those are different things. Yeah, those are different items. Those are different items in the
bulletin. But those are their recommendations that you're saying are obnoxious. I mean, I just don't get it.
Yes, I am, because it's repetitive. I get that you are also confused. I mean, that's clear. It's repetitive. And also, it's again, do you understand that everything that they have suggested is already in the ordinance?
No, it's not in the ordinance. No, that's not it. That's not a correct statement. It's not in the ordinance. They talk about a very general framework, but they went down to the details of what should be included in the CEA, and they specifically point out what's not in the ordinance. I went and read it and checked it and did my research. That's not true. It's
not true. That was not what you were contemplating doing or thinking about doing.
But this is a watchdog agency. And look, I've had my issues with them when I was an elected official. I took them to task as much as anybody else. But, you know, I just don't understand where these observations.
No.
Yes, they were against it. They were not in favor of it.
Let's not kid a killer. Let's sit here and be really clear about this, especially when you see how the language is being used. The BGR is not an organization without history. They have worked against investment in housing and investment in affordable housing. Their words have been used by people who oppose these kinds of investments, including yesterday morning when the NOLA.com made the interesting choice with their headline to insinuate that this was public housing money.
Now BGR is responsible for NOLA.com? I mean, come on. They're a watchdog agency.
How their words are used, and that's happened before. Y'all won.
What do you fear? What do you fear from their observations? Y'all won.
You're
going to get to implement what you want. Okay. What do you fear from these observations?
Good.
Yes, really.
Good. Then we are not. This is not about fear. This is also about making sure that these folks understand that they can't simply thwart the will of the people. That they can't sit here and insinuate and smear these organizations and insinuate.
They did not smear these organizations. These are recommendations. They didn't smear these organizations. That is a very loose characterization of what they provided for.
We're going to agree to disagree here because I went over this thing for two hours.
I mean, I just don't understand where we are. And I apologize. We got to get out to a break. Thank you so much, Andranika Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, Andranika. We'll be right back, folks.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.